This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Just go like this. Okay. Over it went. The screen went blank, hitting my head like a plank, destabilizing my stability, making such a fool of me, going round in circles, nowhere left to go. My friends, they disabuse me and wish that I would go. I said, I got them computer blues, can't get a good thought in my mind. My loving self seems like I got a dead weight killing blind. Here we go over the page. Hang on, don't go away. Here we go. I've been out in the rain, can't complain, feeling the pain, nowhere to go. Why did they sack me for saying Wagwan? If the West doesn't get me, got the blue skies to shine. Whoa! Oh, I lost some place here. Got them computer blues bearing down on my mind. If the web doesn't get it, got the blues. I've done that bit already. £50,000 owning bloop for selling no art, the boop. Keeping me in the dark, that's twice my life savings. As trouble proceeds, got the witch to defend me, protecting my news. Got them computer blues bearing down on my mind. With the enemy against us, can't think of anything else left to find. I was walking in circles, he gave me the faith. For the first time in the day, he saw me out. I got them computer blues, singing out for love. The blues will keep you weeping, but love will see you out. That's it. We're coming round then.
Okay. Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. Good afternoon to Bob Parks.
Good afternoon.
Great to see you again, Bob. So this is your first time in the new studio. What do you make of it?
Well, it's post-coded. It's kind of like, you know, where the BBC plays, St. John's Smith Square.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that without all the pews and stuff. Right. So I think it's really good acoustics, yeah.
It's a massive space, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is your first time here.
I feel quite isolated. I see a big rose window up there with beautiful light coming in.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the Lincoln Cathedral, that great rose window they have there.
Oh, right, okay.
It's your way of neck of the woods, isn't it?
Well, Leicester. Have you been to Lincoln? Why Lincoln? Why have you had a connection with Lincoln?
No, I just went up there to see the rose window.
Well, this used to be a Mormon church.
Yeah, Latter-day Saints, the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Right, because do you still go to that gospel church up in, where is it?
I've got a story about the Mormons, though, but I was driving out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, 25 below, with bull tires in a constant skid, it seems like 500 miles anyhow, the way to Salt Lake City, which is the Mormon.
Oh, right, okay.
And I made it.
You've been there.
Had I skidded off the road, I'd have been in 25 below. This is my experience of driving in America.
Right. That's quite interesting, because the driving stories, you do have some quite... your driving stories could lead us down a bit of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, let's get away from that cul-de-sac.
All right. Well, that song, what was the song you just did?
Yeah, it's Computer Blues, because I have problems with high-tech.
Right.
It's just...
But it's interesting, because you didn't know that the piano was going to be here. You just walked in here today.
I've never done it.
There was the piano. You sat down and started thumping out a tune.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like, what do you call it, barrel... what's the expression for that genre?
It's the way it was in the Deep South at the time. That's what they used to do.
Yeah.
It's not all this sort of white, very nicey-nicey version of it.
No.
Like King Biscuit time with Sonny Boy Williamson, stick a thing in front of a mic and make it up as you go along, basically.
Right.
And sing it loud and coarsely and crudely.
Yeah.
Not all this nicey-nicey stuff.
But you've written the words. I mean,
I wrote the words, yeah.
That was
3 days ago.
That wasn't improvised as such.
That was 3 days ago I wrote the words. And
right.
And I'm going to do it tonight at the New Forest Acoustic Blues.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm. It meets every month. And it's blues musicians from the New Forest. So I'm getting the 4:35 train. I'm going to meet Peter, who's picking me up at 6:40.
Right.
I'm driving out to New Milton. And then
you might as well give it a bit of a blast. Where's the venue?
It's the Memorial Hall in New Milton. It's every first Friday. It's 7:30 tonight.
Okay.
Every Friday. So be there or be square. So anyhow, here we go. Let's get into the meat of the stuff. Psychedelia. Well, Chulentros, I think his name was, he's a show on at the Dulwich Picture Gallery. At the same time as there's the best exhibition I've ever seen in my life in London on right now, which is Cezanne. And it's, it's the best show I've ever seen in my life.
The Cezanne is?
The show is fantastic.
Right.
It's,
and that's just started today, I think.
Or was it yesterday? It started on Wednesday.
Oh, did it?
But I just looked through the catalogue and they've got a third as many more in Chicago paintings, so it's even better there. But I've missed it. I'd even go to Chicago to see it because it's that good. It's just incredible. Anyhow, they're all different. I'd never seen most of the Cezannes before, so it's very, very worthwhile the trip. And then there's Chilentros, or whatever his name. He's a Lithuanian symbolist painter.
Mm.
Just 7 years. He influenced individually both Kandinsky and Malevich. Malevich got his triangles from him, and Kandinsky got something else from him. So, and the guy, I would say, at Wombats, he was Lithuanian. He said he's our national hero.
Did you say Wombats?
Mm, Wombats is City Hostel. That's where I stay when I come up to London.
Right.
It's Australian.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so he was there, and we then got into talking about psychosis and the whole thing that apparently this guy was a schizophrenic. Why I'm interested in Cezanne is to do with hallucinations and to do with psychedelia.
Right.
I went to the Jeu de Paume when it was at the bottom of the Tuileries back in 65 in Paris. I was on my own. And I went round sketching all the pictures there, like the Vlaminck and all the Phobia stuff, really getting off on it. And then I came to this fruit, apples and oranges, in the Cezanne, sketched it, and it started rotating as a hallucination. In fact, it literally started rotating. I couldn't believe it. It was the freakiest thing. And that's my big spiritual experience in art, actually.
Right.
And
I think there's something into them. I mean, I don't think he was aware of it or that, but I think as in consciousness, what we're moving on to in terms of developments of the mainstream European art, which is getting into, just as in the 19th century, everything was light and working with the scientists on the, you know, breaking down the prism to primary and secondary colours. Now it's the mystery of consciousness, which is really what we're all got at the back of our minds. Mm-hmm. And I think central to that is psychosis and as a way into it. One thing I did was, do you want to ask me any questions or shall I
just
carry on?
No, you just carry on.
Okay. One thing that I did was investigate this now. In our village, there's a guy called Professor Lilly. Well, he's not called that anymore because he's dead. But I used to get on the train with going up to London. He's one of the world experts on sound. And he set up the sound department at Southampton University. Basically, he's working in aeronautics, but he's interested in sound theory. So we had lots of very fantastic conversations. His daughter ran away and joined the circus and married the leading European clown. And her son, his grandson, had a small circus troupe that circumvented the globe, busking around from country to country. So anyhow, he's now in Sway. And yeah. So I thought, I'll grab him. And I tried this thing. My theory, because I was one of the first performance artists in England in the 60s. Now, that was Pollock's literalism, which is it's splash, splash, and splashes go into furniture and sounds go out of mouths and all that kind of. So he said that all that is art, so everything is art, basically. And so that's really from his point of view. And subsequently, I've discovered it's called the walking art. Not this Richard, the guy who...
Richard Long.
Yeah, the one who's on all the school, A-level syllabuses. Not that. But this is Walk, Listen, Create Cafe. This has been going for 10 or 15 years. But this particular, there's lots of them, is based in Brazil, Belgium, and London. And you do the cafe every Tuesday, every fortnight, and it's from all over the world. People, it's basically... Somebody's made up this word sound art, which is totally meaningless because they don't know what they're doing, basically. It's just like it's a word that they do stuff and they call it sound, i.e. making sound in the space, which is very superficial. But when it was, back in the 60s, the sound art was, from my point, it was from the Vedic tradition that sound atoms on an electron level form sound actually are form. There's a link between, you're going to a mantra. Anyhow, all of that. So this is where that's coming from. But why my thought is that if this performance art thing where everything is art, now, so walking art is making this thing where everything is art emanating from, it moves about, isn't it? So it's going to meet nearly 8 billion other everything is art-ers. So it's like what is that called? An exponential curve. So with the internet, and we're close to picking up thoughts, the canvas moved from Cezanne to performance art as consciousness, and now it's cyberspace. Because if we use the internet to record these meetings of all these 8 billion people nearly, it's just... a limitless canvas, really. So what performance art was in the 60s, for me anyhow, when it was sort of, didn't have a name, this is now what that was then now. And so it can have the similar growth to become a sort of threat to everything. Actually, right now, there's a couple of things in London that I think one's gone. It was a movie that's been and gone, I think, because they only last about a week, anything of that nature. There's the Carolee Schneeman.
Oh, yeah.
That was 7 years older than me, but basically, we were doing more or less the same thing. And the other side of it, the grisly side of it, because in the 60s, it was either self-mutilation or sex were the choices going into performance. And I went into sex, so on myself, because I couldn't get a girlfriend. I've said this in earlier programs. But the other one is, who's the guy who did Dick Cronenberg, his movie Crimes of the Future, uses performance artists. It's not a particularly good film, but actually a lot or most of what's in that film has actually been done in performance art. So it's well represented now, the grisly side and the sex side.
Right.
for good or for bad. I mean, that's what it was. Not everything else that people are making up, but that was what it was, basically, at that time. I don't know what it's become. So that's quite interesting. So what I'm trying to do is this guy. Play that one. Can you play that record, that Jimmy Powell, Sugar Babe?
We can try and set that up.
Okay, let me tell you a little lead-in for this.
I mean, talking about everyone being an artist, I think that was one of Joseph Beuys's kind of theories, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That's right. I mean, we could play a snatch of Joseph Beuys whilst we're setting up this record that you wanted.
Mr. Felt, he's very felt, isn't he?
That's right, felt suits and deep felt roots. This is a record of called Joseph Beuys Laughs, and both sides of the LP are Joseph Beuys laughing. Apparently, this was rediscovered. It was lost for about 30 years or so, and it's only just been re-released. Have we got his other records set up? The one for
Night of the Vampire.
Or the
Sugar Baby.
Sugar Baby.
Let me tell you why they're setting that up. I was born in Southall, and the next town over is Hayes, and they had the Blue Moon Club. You got it?
I can't see. What did he say?
I don't know. Next town over, just...
I'm going to take Joseph Beuys off.
Right, okay.
Because it's too much going on now.
That's right. Okay.
Milo,
right.
We need your password. We need a password, apparently.
REMHKNOF.
Now everybody in the world knows your password now.
Is that a mistake?
People will be writing it down. Okay, so what you can talk about.
I'll talk a bit. Okay, the Blue Moon Club. It's what's his name? There was this group, Jimmy Powell. This little guy came on and he sat on the piano and he did this extended break. That's the Sugar Babe. And there was a skinny guy in the group. It was Rod Stewart.
We're going to play it.
Okay, here you go.
You can tell us about it.
Oh, no, this is Night of the Vampire. This is the Moontrekkers. This is the lead guitarist before he joined the Dimension. Formed the Dimensions. Here you go. And he did this before Telstar. Thank you. Jerry Le something. That's the lead guitarist. He lives in the next village to me, and this group, the Dimensions that he formed, he went to school with a guy Rod Stewart, and he got Rod to join the group, and now this next record that's coming up with Jimmy Powell, it has both Rod Stewart and Jimmy Powell. They both got growly voices, so it lasted about a year, but I saw them at the Blue Moon Club in '65. And it was, and it's quite a surprise to find this guy in
but
the
what's
next
the date of that track that we just
about
heard?
About 61.
61. So as you were saying, it's before Telstar.
Yeah, it was one of his first
instruments. Which went to the top of the hit parade, didn't it?
That's right, that was the second instrumental. The instrumentals were big back then, The Shadows and Jimmy, what's the name, Johnny and the Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Beat
Nick Klein, all that kind of
thing. But did you say Joe Meek produced it?
Yes, he did. Right. And he had this, he goes on the stories about, it's famous, isn't it? Actually, I saw that play, Telstar, the one they did of his life story, and the lead guitarist in that... No, the guy who played the...
Keyboards,
sitting right behind me. Uh-huh. And he said there's something... I can't talk about it, but there's something about Hines, it throws into question whether or not it was a suicide. It might have been a murder... There's all litigation and everything like that. So and Hines is involved in it.
Right.
I can say this because it's, I'm not, it's the other chap couldn't say that, but it's very interesting. It's a big mystery about what happened there because the story is he shot his landlady and then he shot himself.
Right. But I'm going to just interrupt you briefly because you're mentioning a keyboard player.
Yeah.
We happen to have a keyboard player on the left who is sitting in Orlando Harrison, who is sort of sitting in on this show, actually hosts another show called The Wrong Show. He's Mr. Wrong and I'm Mr. Right because I'm always right, you see.
And you're sitting on the right. Yeah.
And he's on the left because he's wrong. But he's Orlando is a keyboard player for the Alabama Three. So that sort of...
Runaway, the Del Shannon one. You know that
yes.
keyboard that... What is that instrument? Because it's a Moog, not a pre-Moog thing.
Yes, okay.
Do you have one of those that you can play? Because it's a great sound.
But not with me, no.
No, but do you use it when you sound with your group?
I suppose I use a sound like that kind of 60s transistorized, or 50s actually, isn't it? Transistorized, lovely sort of cheap, thin sound, but really... cuts through, it isn't very flute-like, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fantastic. Very nice.
Yeah. But Del Shannon's 50s, isn't he? Or is he late
50s? 59, 60, yeah. That sort of time, Runaway. Hey, baby, let's dance, Chris Montez.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
That my ex-wife dated him.
No.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Yeah. they went to...
She's your ex-wife?
Pardon?
Is that why she's your ex-wife?
Yeah. Okay. Rhythm and blues. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you got it. You got it in one. Yeah. Mm. And we're meeting up. She's flying out from Santa Fe next week. We're going to meet in Barcelona. So, we've had two spats. Our first spat was my divorce. And the second spat, which we had talking about the arrangements, has led to this holiday in Barcelona. So
I'm glad that story had a happy ending.
Yeah, so far. But tell me more about your keyboard playing.
I generally use my fingers.
There's
this thing, it's got all these white, black and white things, and I try and arrange my fingers on the black and white things in the correct order in order to produce a sound that will produce an emotional effect in the listener. That's my technique.
Right. Well, that could apply to Bach or anybody, really, couldn't it? It's a historic... You're a continuum.
But these records that you're playing, there's an electronic aspect to it, isn't there? I mean, these effects are beyond hitting the black and white keys.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of circuitry involved, yes.
Right. Yeah. What do you mean, say circuitry? What's that?
Electroconductivity. I don't know the precise ins and outs of it. I just,
Well, the sound on it, is it a piano that you play? Keyboard?
No, I play a digital keyboard that pretends to be a piano.
Well, that's electronic, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't claim that it wasn't.
No.
I don't know where you've got this. This.
It's all right. It's very contrary. It's all right. Have we got Sugar Babe, mate?
Right, this is the other one. This is Jimmy Powell, and you can see why he and Rod Stewart got on for about 2 minutes.
Have we got this lined up? It's all right. He's taking out his headphones. Sugar Babe by Jimmy Powell and the something.
Five Dimension. He's fiddling around. Sun's still flooding through. I feel like a cricket commentator. And the, I can't see the... Not sound like much, but that was the first psychedelic break I'd heard in music, you see. And this was the group that they, John, what's his name, Roger and the other guy were in. So I'm going to try to get, well, I've been trying to bring Scott, who was in this group we had, Parks and the Recreationals, who's great at music transcribing, to come down to the New Forest to have a word with Gary Laporte, and they can talk chords and music kind of thing. But I've been, like, it's been a year now, I've been trying to get him to come down. The, people aren't easy to get to take from here to there. Hmm. So I'm going to keep on trying. And then he'll come back. The new group is called No Name Now Collective, and he'll give all the guys the... Scott will then tell them the music chords and all that kind of stuff. Hmm. So that's going to come in the middle of a commission. I paid Nicky Brown, a leading British composer, £2,000 to write a score to bookend this particular psychedelic piece that I'm, you know, working on. And that was actually for the London Sinfonietta. And I had it in the last week, the week just before I had this interview with the chief executive at the South Bank. And I'd had them cancelled, and I had this one absolutely worked out. Well, I've been working there for 30 years, you know, perfect. You know, I've never been late, you know, always on time, blah, 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 blah.
What were you doing there? What was your role?
Host, just taking tickets as you
like
go.
Like an usher?
Usher. Yeah. And it was called a steward first, and it was called a host. And it, but anyhow, that was... Oh, it's,
is it the South Bank, like the Festival
Royal Hall? Festival Hall, yeah. Okay. Rather. And anyhow, they sacked me for saying wagwan at a 30-year celebration of reggae music in Jamaica. And I've been going to this Jamaican church, Church of God in Christ. They brought it over with Windrush in the 50s from America. It started, it's Memphis, came out of Memphis in 1908. It was the original Holy Roller Church, and that's what I linked with when I went to America, to L.A., to find out about rhythm and blues. Where I met Johnny Otis, who coined the term in the late 40s, and we became sort of friends. But anyhow, when I was searching for the sources, I was directed to this Jubilistic Church of God in Christ in South Central, and I went there for 7 years. Now, you stay sweet now, you hear, Brother Bob? Be bold, brother. You know, all my brothers and sisters. It's my home from home in America. And so that was that, and I've forgotten what I've forgotten.
What does wagwan mean?
Yeah, here we go. So it's apparently it's just, you know, like ciao in Italian.
Yeah.
And I was saying to the women and the men and the black and the white and the young and the old and so on,
yeah,
wagwan. And yeah. A lady
did somebody
who was,
take offence then?
Yeah, it's an Indian. I'm not Jamaican, she said.
Ah.
And the leading I haven't got a line manager because they didn't have them. So they sent me home in disgrace for having said wagwan. But apparently it's appeared now in the acceptable phrases to use. Yeah. You know,
Does it have some connotation?
No, there's absolutely no connotation. It's a harmless greeting. Yeah. And I got letters from church, to say, confirm, this is my Jamaica church, yeah. Say what an outstanding citizen I am. And
it just means what's going on, isn't it?
How are you? Anyhow, that's what I got the sack
for. So you directed this at somebody who didn't want to be identified as Jamaican or something.
That's it. I'm not Jamaican, she said.
Well, that's something that... You could have said, hello, me duck, or something.
Yeah, I know the duck.
From Leicester. Yeah. But, I mean, somebody... Why would they take exception if they weren't from Leicester? You know what I mean? It's like a sort Absolutely. Of... It seems a bit kind of... it seems beyond censorious.
No, you can't make this up, man. And similarly... Well, no, I can't get into the other one for litigation, so keep me clear of...
Yes,
but this was the first silly thing that happened. What happened also, say I've been there 30 years, and we are encouraged as hosts to talk about ARC, because it's an art organisation. And I talked about performance art to my colleagues, uh-huh. and another colleague introduced herself as a performance artist. I thought, great. So I started talking about what was happening in performance art, which is quite lurid. Yeah, but it's what was happening.
Who were you talking to, though?
The host who was...
So did they take exception?
Apparently.
Okay, so you're kind of offending people
with your
verbal utterances in one way or another.
Yeah.
They sound fairly harmless.
It's totally harmless.
Are you going to contest the sacking?
I've contested it, but they've... and I had another meeting, and they overruled it. I have to say,
you've had a series of these sort of incidents over the last few years, haven't you? I do remember another. You were sort of told to go home before for some, which I won't mention.
It's twice my life savings that he wants for not. This certain person for not having sold any of my art for 6 years.
Oh no, I don't mean that one. No. I mean at the South Bank when you referred to somebody. In a particular way, and
I don't mind about the South Bank saying anything about them.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I think it was a colleague of yours who you referred to as the Wandering Jew.
Oh, the Wandering Jew. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one because at that time I'd done a triptych, and there actually was an opera called The Wandering Jew out, and I got a copy of that.
Right.
And apparently it was politically incorrect, but I was. Yeah, it was well handled, I thought, at the South Bank.
Yeah.
And I apologised because I had no idea that it was offensive. Because I actually asked him, because he threatened to punch me and told me to F off, you see.
Right.
And I thought, why is that about? I said, is it because I called you the Wandering Jew? Oh, no, it was something else.
Right.
But actually it was. And actually it turned out that his, was it father or something?
Yeah.
Or his mother, they were teachers and they'd been in, well... concentration camps or something like that, and he started to cry. So actually, it was a release of something. You know, it was quite a useful thing to have done. So I thought, good on the South Bank. So that wasn't such a bad experience. And then after that, this whole thing about nicknames, that they can be, upset people if you...
Right.
Because, I walk down the street, and it's not long before somebody... Do you know what you look like? Just like Albert Einstein. I'm just getting so sick of it.
Right.
And when I tell people that, you shouldn't tell nicknames and stuff like that, I don't think they'd get it because they've got to go through this whole discipline.
Well, they can be quite barbed, can't they? It can be a way of sort of...
he's an ugly old guy. I don't want to be told I'm like...
there we are, you see. Yeah. Okay, let's not...
We get into that. There you go. Hitting a few chords already. Okay. Isn't it? Yeah.
All right. So what's this piece of music that is it Nick Brown?
Yeah, Nicky Brown. Rhythm Blues. Blimey, you've got a lot of time to go, and I've run out of things to say.
No, you haven't. You've never run out of anything to say.
Yeah.
Okay. We could play. Well, if you want to just take a break for a minute, we could just play a few adverts. We'll play this.
All right, play a couple of adverts.
Tuned, your car has probably travelled several thousand miles. The spa- spark plugs have fired millions of times, the ignition system has fired hundreds of millions of times, hot gases and destructive fluids have been created in your engine. Adjustable and moving parts will have become worn and misaligned. Isn't it time to make your appointment with us? Ring HomeTune on 081 800 1635. We're the experts, giving excellent service and with the most competitive rates around. HomeTune, 081 800 1635.
Okay, we're going to go to a slight break. We'll see you on the other side.
You're not doing anything on a Friday night? Why not check out Vader's every week, 9 p.m. till morning at 43 Peckham High Street. DJs consist of Groove Rider, Mad Hatter, plus guest. And also lasers, smoke lighting to dazzle the mind.
On Saturday the 13th of July, Blitz Promotions are back with Insomnia Dance Factory. This rave kicks off at 10 through to the morning papers, to be held at Wonderland Arena, Leibridge Road, next to Lee Valley Ice Rink. DJ lineup includes from the Aslam Syndicate, Aslam Mac and Easy Noise, Chief Joseph, Marquee, Shocker, DJ Macca, and from Chilling Dizzy D and Helium. Attractions include massive sound systems, dazzling lights and laser show, and special guest PAs.
All right, this is a guy I met in, what was it? It was, well, a long topic. Right, I went to Leicester College of Art, and we've got this commonality with Leicester.
Yeah.
And you know Ken Ford's wife.
Yes, midwife.
Yeah, midwife widow, rather. Okay. And Charlotte.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's in Hallerton, and you live...
That's
in
right.
A
I
village
lived at Tugby.
By.
Tugby, which was the next village,
your
actually.
Your brother apparently has something... Or there was some connection, Charlotte was saying. No, it's not that. It's...
Steph Rayner was the link.
Yeah, and the man that she's dating right now is an old mod. He's about my age, and he knows your whole group. But I haven't got the name. We'd have to talk about. Anyhow, why I say that is because
I should just interrupt just to say that the adverts that we just broadcast are about 30 years out of date, so please don't hasten down to any of those discos or venues.
Okay. Anyway, so Robin Klasnick was at Leicester when I was there. He was in the year above me, but he's the same age. And after he left, he opened this installation gallery in London called Matt's.
Oh,
and Nathaniel Mellows was one of his artists who then... had residency in Arts Way. Now, Arts Way was an avant-garde gallery that opened in the middle of the New Forest by this, she's dead now of cancer, Linda Fredericks, who my brother, they both had nervous breakdowns at the same time. She was from Heston, he was from Southall, and they met in Isleworth Hospital. And I was a postman in Sway, and I recognised this person in this sculpture, actually, in the council house in the council part, and she had squatted and got ownership of this thing, and was teaching at the local comprehensive school. And when she retired, she raised £250,000 from the National Lottery and opened Arts Way. She was Trotskyist, and I'm a Stalinist, and we had quite a bit of, you know, we didn't like to touch on that because
you're actually an occult Stalinist, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm a pacifist occult Stalinist.
I believe in violence.
A lot of interesting things. Right. Yeah. Anyway, so Linda then opened Arts Way, and Nathaniel was an artist in residence. Just all these coincidences happened. And Robin knew that I'd studied with Lee Strasberg in Hollywood, and they took pity on me. So I appeared in one of his films. So here I am hanging in a tree with a harness. And I told Nathaniel, you know, I do art. And he came round and came to the bungalow, and he came round. All of which isn't there now because it's in a certain place.
Right.
A hidden. All right. But anyhow, he came around and he was knocked out, and he gave me his gallerist in Amsterdam, and I had a show there, my first ever show, and produced an LP. And then.
Can I just interject there? There is a YouTube video, of you in that Amsterdam gallery.
Oh, is it?
Isn't that right? Isn't that
where you're completely painted
yellow with no clothes on?
That's the one.
And you're having like some sort of
epileptic fit on the floor. That was my last year at art school.
So if anyone wants to see that clip, which is well worth looking at, just go to Bob Parks, Amsterdam.
Yeah, try it. Yeah, give it a go.
You went. yellow paint.
Yeah, and there's, it should come up in three parts. That's the third part. You watch the first and the second part.
It is quite extraordinary, actually. Yeah. It's well worth a look. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, actually, I tell you what, I was sitting on, it was the Mahler second, the what's his second symphony, his famous one anyhow, the choral symphony. And who's one of the big, Tom, he does all the interviews on Radio 3. He's Tom Service.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, I was on the tour, and I'd seen myself, and he came up to me, he said, "I'm honoured to be in your presence. You're one of the great 20th century artists." So,
I gave him.
Yeah. I didn't want to say anything in case he changed his mind. You see, yeah. But anyhow,
Did he have you on Radio 3?
No.
Oh.
No. So here we are. This is Nathaniel Mellors in Artsway. I'm on the tree.
Yes.
Anyhow, hi, Matt. Nathaniel, you said you might be listening, and he's in Los Angeles right now.
I would say that's where I first encountered your name at the Nathaniel Mellors exhibition at the ICA.
Oh, really?
That's when I picked up your record, the Rhythm and Blues record.
Because I'd done the picture of Mum on the cross. Do you remember being crucified? That was
right. But I bought the LP.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I then got in touch with you.
You traced me down at the South Bank, didn't you?
So that was at the Nathaniel Mellors exhibition, which was a fantastic show, actually. With those those heads that kind of talk to each other.
What we do is, I want to do a plug for the show. Robin's got a new location in Nine Elms.
Yes.
And Nathaniel's got his latest show on there, so I want to plug that. It's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I will go. I will go to that. Yeah.
It's on till Christmas, until December, so well worth a visit. That's what I wanted to say.
So,
really good, because now he's got Hollywood style. He's out in Hollywood, isn't he, that way? So he's got more special effects going.
Right.
One of them's is free fall out of a plane. And I think he got someone else to do it. One of the characters from his thing, he's interviewing him as he's falling down to.
Oh, right.
So it's quite it's an unusual take on a short film.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's, and he's got sort of grungy figures that he's done, and also a painting, and so it's well worth it. Yeah.
I think the one I saw was
a big piss take on
automatons almost talking to each other. It was
it's knocking the art establishment, the whole.
Right.
The dialogue is parodying, pretentious art talk people, and so that's really good.
Hmm.
Right, what else? Yeah. There's loads of other things to talk about. But,
It's
this psychedelic thing that's it's basically.
Now you've lost your job.
Yeah.
How are you managing? Are you all right?
Again, it's this thing. Now I've got to find somewhere. I thought I've got a friend. That he's listening in now. Hi, Phil. I thought he had somewhere for my overflow, but it's not, and it's going to cost me £25 a week. Like that's £1,250 a year for storage, and I live on a small pension, so that's a hell of a lot of money for me. So I'm not sure if we can retrieve our work.
I know we can't. You can't discuss it.
I don't want to get
really because of the litigation. But in effect, your paintings, a large amount of your paintings, are sort of in limbo. Basically, you can't get them, and you can't get the money for them. That's sort of
we won't. So that's all of that. But so that's the big stress thing. So I'm doing distractions. You see, to take my mind. So I've nearly spent a third of my life savings on distractions. So I've got to be.
What do you call distractions? What are they?
Well, I went to Paris. I saw the Venice Biennale.
Okay.
And it's fantastic this year. It's all women, 95% women.
Right.
It's like the year before, it's at 95% men. It's really good. I can't compare it. It's the first time I've been, and this is this planned visit to Barcelona as well. So I'm going to have to pull in a little bit after this to see the Musée Picasso, Miró, even Salvador Dali. They're all from Catalan.
Right.
They're all that way. Sort of thing. And then actually in the Cézanne, there's a painting that Matisse had of that Cézanne did, and he says, whenever he does his most freakiest work, he takes a look at this painting and is reminded by...
Is that Mont Saint-Victoire? Is it one of those?
No, it's one of the bathers. And he's reminded that Suzanne's done it already before, so it's all safe territory. Yeah. And similarly, Picasso had another bathers one, which he... you know, valued above everything. So both of them adored Suzanne, as did Malevich.
Yeah.
He said that Kandinsky made the mistake of going in through Fauvism, and he said he should have gone through Cubism, which is like the Suzanne. Everyone.
But Kandinsky was more into the sort of spirituality of in art?
That's it. Oh, well, this is another link. He wrote Concerning the Spiritual of Art in 1911, which was a reaction to Wilhelm Voringer's Abstraction and Einfühlung. Abstraction and empathy. Mm. So that was empathy was the way in, as that was in a sense the way in for Kandinsky, I think, because that's what he picked up in inspiring him to write. Which I then said to this guy who, Professor Lilly's grandson, that's why I'm using empathy. It's like, at every level, art tries to imitate life. You can never actually be life. There's that sort of space that you can't quite bridge. But it's an attempted bridge. I mean, what's it? Sofia Godoblinova. I can't think of her name. There's Ospelskaya. They were all Shostakovich's proteges. And Schnitker was another one. Mm. And but this Sofia Godoblinova, that's right. I saw a talk by her, and she said that, you know, in caveman times, the artists would paint the food source and also interpret dreams. And they would be the sort of soothsayer.
The what source did you say?
What?
The what source did you say? The food?
The source of, you know, the artists or whatever, you know, would identify food.
Food? By, oh, okay.
By,
food
you
source.
Know, drawing, okay. You know, cows or something on the,
right.
the cave wall, that sort of thing. And then also interpret dreams. And historically, the function of the artist being the, representing the, subconscious has sort of diminished,
right.
And now with the internet, where even conscious thoughts are beginning to diminish with googling, you Google everything, and so she's sort of this plea for, you know, saying, in, you know, having something basically. So what I'm saying, why I'm saying that, is that art seems to try to get as close to an inner experience, which is what kind of, you know, it's moved from you know. Obviously, from Greek art, which is the body, then medieval art, which is the inner body, the Christ, and then Renaissance, humanitarianism, the genre painting from the Dutch school, you know, all that kind of David, political, and Courbet, and then into Monet. And so it's now inner space, really, which is the realm of the computer, and it still hasn't touched, you know, you can't, pick up someone's thoughts, well, yeah, although they're quite close to sort of doing that, but you can't hear someone or see someone's dream or that sort of thing. So it's all the time trying to touch that. So what I'm doing, I had a, when I came back from America, this is a bit of repetition here, I was trying, talking to my mum about process, I don't know how it came up, which is when you go into sales, instead of going into the first shop, sit down on a park bench and write down and you know, the best shop to go to, thinking about thinking. And she said, well, I can do it when you say it, but I can't do it on my own. And the more I tried to explain what I meant, the more she'd freeze, and it led to these 25-hour murderous psychotic rages, which I had 1,000 of them over a 30-year period. So it was like that. And I'm seeing that, I'm sort of beginning to view that. And the deal was that with Mum, that when she dies, she'd take all my psychosis with her. And as is in the documentary, I accidentally killed her in the car crash. And she took it all with her. I haven't had any psychosis in 30 years, in 7, 8 years now.
Hmm.
So she literally. So it's there's something in there. So I'm thinking of psychosis as the way in this walking art.
Hmm.
Have someone else, through empathy, to recreate a sort of psychotic experience for themselves. And this is a walk I did with Rob. So I had him walking on this. It's like when you're walking, you're in touch with your conscious mind in a way that you're not when you're sitting still. It sort of somehow...
Is it the rhythm of the movement?
Yeah, it resonates. Mm-hmm. It comes out stronger. And you can think much more clearly about intentions and everything. So this is essentially this whole philosophy behind walking talking cafes. The walking art is replete. It's a simple thing. You don't need any clothes, any money. You just do it. Everyone walks. And it takes you onto a higher level. So I've thought him on that level. If he tries to empathise with my psychosis, there. So I was walking, and here he was. So I saw myself as him at a bit of distance. What happened with Mum? I had a symbiotic relationship. I was doing her portrait, and using my method training to become Mum. And then this has led to the symbiotic relationship. So it might have come out of all of that whole melange of different things. Mm. Yeah. So I'm thinking that might be a way into touching upon this. Because, as you know, I've just said, the thing that I think the way into, another way into replicating inner experiences is through hallucinations, which psychotic people... It's associated with psychosis and schizophrenia. Hmm. And this, the Lithuanian artist suffered from that as well. And that whole area, because that borders, he's from southern Lithuania, which borders Poland. Hmm. And Malevich was Polish-Russian. So there's something in that mentality in that particular geographical area. And another thing, which is a link with Suzanne, was it's to do with something about sound in sound art is that there's a historical link in the molecules in a certain area contained in the sound that replicate not only the present but the past. Hmm. And there's some sort of resonance of the past, and it's a way of activating that and accessing it and through all these sort of devices. What Suzanne was most interested in, because he was interested in the geology of the strata of Mount Saint Victoire. So it was that he was represented, the underpinning the landscape, not the literal way it looked, but what structured but underneath it. So similarly, if Ken was saying that if you're in Pont, who was the head of art at sculpture, the basis of sculpture and why you do it for 2 or 3 years. And you can't do anything, is to identify the centre of gravity of mass. And once you've got an eye for that, then you can carve, because you don't carve the edge bit. You carve with reference to the centre of gravity of mass. So it works as rather not a two-dimensional form, but as a three-dimensional shape. Mm. And it had gravity and gravitas, because you've... And you can tell it. There's all this rubbish art that's appearing all over the place, that sculpture that doesn't, it doesn't work, basically. But anyhow, that's that. But anyhow, that's the link with Suzanne again. And then looking at, although the wonderful still life that I saw in the Jeu de Paume isn't in the London show, it's in the Chicago show, but I don't know, because I've seen it. But it's to do with the way that, it's apples and oranges, because he said he'll transform Paris with his apple. That's his claim. And he did in his later life. And he put, little angled things under the plates and put all the fruit at different stuff. So there's a movement in the painting. And then when that starts, your eye moves around because of the movement, because of the different surfaces and false, like a table will have a line going down there and a line going up there and then a bit down there. The genesis of cubism, really, of looking at things from multi points of view. And what he did was he broke down the picture plane. He sort of broke that down. And that was his great, that was modernism right there at that moment when he broke down the picture plane. And the movement in these still lives, it's conceivable, this would explain the hallucination, that picks up speed. It can almost generate the whole image to start actually moving. Mm. You can get some of John Hoyland's early stuff, the one in the Leicester Museum actually has that effect with the way he uses colour together, they do move.
Right.
So there is in Southern Californian art, which is a phenomenological approach to perceptual psychology, so it works with... Robert Irwin, for example, will use his resin sculptures as perceptual tools. You look through them in order to see stuff. They're not art per se, but they're instruments through which to art. And that's very much a Southern Californian approach to modern art or whatever it is. And so in all of that, and with this whole thing with psychedelia, I think this is a way to start. I don't think it's inducing hallucinations, but it's an in that area, which is very much identified with hallucinations, but not through drugs, but through sensibility, really, or spirituality. Because we see, as far as we know, as neuroscience, we see controlled hallucinations. So basically, the brain, because we don't see anything, it's out there, it's a construction in the brain, isn't it? Mm. And that is an hallucination. And this is what I've heard of neuroscience. It's the basic, they have different kind of standard hallucinations that they impose on when you're here or there. And then the process of seeing is adapting that to literally what's there. So it's roughly the eye in coordination with the brain imposing a form. So there's something in hallucinations, I believe, that's to do with the process of seeing. And that's what I want. I think that's what Suzanne was on the edge of releasing. And that's what I want to explore further through sound and the old Vedic scriptures and all that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, so that's that whole
you
sort of
are listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And today's guest has been Bob Parks. You've been on the show many times before, but we've had a bit of a hiatus or something. I suppose it's been a couple of years or so.
Yeah.
I think we did one in the meantime, didn't we? With the interim, we did one where I recorded it in the shop, I think. It's been a strange time, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And so you're welcome to come on again sometime, Bob. Perhaps with you. I mean, with this vast space, you could bring a band
group
in here, couldn't you? Bring
get
a group
the
in.
Name now collected.
Do you want to do a quick improvisation on the piano?
Why not?
Play
Let's
us
take
out?
Them out with
if you want to sort of go over to the piano, and then we can play out. And many thanks to Orlando Harrison and Milo Thesiger Meacham for engineering today.
I hear a piano always. That's all
Oh, my God.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.